Chapter 8. Lemon. Do I feel bad calling Atlas's bluff? A little. But when he comes tearing up the street in his Mustang, not long later, and parks illegally on the sidewalk so he can rush inside, I'm stunned. I stare at him, wide-eyed, while he frantically searches the coffee shop for me. I'm on a stool at the front window and raise my hand like a scolded schoolchild. Atlas rushes over to me. What's wrong? Coffee emergency? I hold up the cup I ordered for him in the hopes he would come, but had also resigned myself to knowing I'd probably have to drink it along with my own. You're here. You messaged there was an emergency, he says, breathing heavily. I probably racked up about 15 speeding tickets and ran through at least 2 red lights. I bite my lip to stop from laughing because I do actually feel bad about that. Sorry, you were testing me? He still hasn't taken the coffee from me, so I put it back down. No? Yes. In my defense, I didn't think you'd actually come, let alone break a million laws to get here. Movement out of the corner of my eyes catches my attention. Speaking of which, I point to where a beat cop is checking out Atlas's terrible parking job. Fuck. He runs out of the store, so I pick up his coffee and follow him. Atlas begs and pleads with the officer, but it's too late. He's getting a fine. After the cop gives him the ticket and walks away, he turns to me with a scowl on his face. I can pay for that, I say. Whether it's my offer to pay or he accepts my apology, his features suddenly soften. It's okay. I was worried about you is all. Wow, way to slap me in the face. Maybe I shouldn't have texted you. I'm glad you did, even if it was a false alarm. If you needed the reassurance that I'm not full of shit, then that's on me. I should have convinced you better that I will be there for you. Nah, it's on me for having trust issues. Atlas smiles. That too, a little bit. Coffee? I hold out his cup again. Thank you. He takes a sip, and I watch as his tongue darts out to lick his lips when he swallows down the first sip. Damn, he has a sexy mouth. Wanna hang out? I ask. He's either taken off guard or he has plans, because he glances back at his car and then checks his phone, hesitating before finally saying, Sure, what I had to do can wait. I need to be home in time for my shift tonight. You forgetting we work together? I need to be back too. Let's go for a drive. Have anywhere in mind? I tap my chin. I know just the place. Griffith Park, really? Atlas sounds surprised and disappointed. Not a fan? I'm fine with it. I didn't picture you as the hiking type, though. Oh, we're not here for the hiking. I have a special spot. Okay, that makes it sound way dirtier than I mean it. Nearly everyone who comes here wants to hike to the top to see the Hollywood sign. There are a lot of other trails that are shorter and have great views. I used to train here. It was torture.
When you were Navy?
No, after I left. Had to stay fit and all. I check out his bulging muscles and lick my lips involuntarily.
I agree to the staying fit part, but you might take it to a whole new level. What are you, 0% body fat?
That's impossible. I maintain a 3-5% range.
I snort. So basically zero. Any lower and you'd be dead.
He shrugs. I'm a physical guy.
I close my eyes and take in a stilted breath. My brain is extra guttery today, but also, when someone who looks like Atlas says he's physical, I can't help but imagine him doing physical things. Sweaty, naked things.
Maybe we should take one of the more intense hikes.
Atlas cocks his head.
Why?
I have all this pent-up energy when you say things like that. I need to expel it somehow, seeing as you're not into casual sex.
I didn't say anything sexual at all.
His cheeks pinken, and it's so weird to me that this huge, giant, badass-looking dude blushes, but I love it. If it didn't make me more sexually frustrated, I'd want to make him look like that permanently.
I know, and that's the worst part, I admit, but I will do my hardest not to objectify you.
And yet my brain fills with fantasies of Atlas giving me permission to objectify him all I want and taking off his shirt so I can have some eye candy. My brain is so mean to me. Atlas, of course, doesn't do that. He just glances around and asks which way we're going. My fantasies die a quick but horrible death. Follow me. The trail I've brought him to is one of the easier ones, because while there's a bit of an incline, it's nothing compared to the others. But the point of coming out here isn't for the hike itself, but the view of LA highways with the San Gabriel Mountains behind it. It's a mixture of corporate greed and road rage, but with a stillness of nature in the background. It somehow soothes me. It's a reflection of myself. Outside, I'm a chaotic mess. The dancing, the drama, the flair. Inside, I'm looking for my zen, the calm. I want to be settled, but I'm yet to find the right balance. Out here, breathing in the freshest air you can get in LA, seeing the two worlds coexist side by side, it gives me hope that I'll one day find it. I love what I do, and I love my life, but like most people in my profession, I have to consider how long I can keep it up for. You okay? Atlas asks out of nowhere. We haven't been hiking long, and there's no way we're doing the whole trail. Even though it is one of the easier ones, it's a 6-mile return hike. No, thank you. What? You tiring out already? Is this considered weight training for you? Carrying around all your muscles has to be heavy. Do you always deflect when someone asks how you are? Yes. Don't mind me. Whenever I'm here, I tend to get in my head a bit, but in a good way. You know, assessing my life choices, my future, how to reach the next level of awesomeness. Ah, all the important questions in life. Less than a mile in, we come to my favorite spot. It's where the elevation part has started to kick in. It's only slight, but it's enough to make a ledge for me to sit on and bask in the view. When I sit my ass down, Atlas stands over me. Need a break already? Nope. This is the spot. Now he looks even more confused, but he joins me anyway. This is the amazing view you wanted to show me? It's of a freeway. It's quintessential LA. If you say so. Sit. Watch. He does. For about 2 whole minutes. Am I supposed to be waiting for a car accident to happen? No, it's supposed to make you think. You know what game I love to play? Picking out random cars and picturing the type of person driving it. Where are they going? Do they have a family? What does their life look like compared to mine? That's a whole lot of words for you hate your life. Are you being judgy again? I turn my head to find him looking horrified. No, sorry, I heard how that might have come across as soon as I said it, but why do you spend so much time thinking about how others live if you don't want something different or more in your own life? Okay, maybe he has a point there. I don't hate my life. It's the opposite. But I guess I'm waiting for it to all implode or for me to realize that being a 40-year-old stripper probably isn't going to bring in a lot of money. I guess I like picturing what my future life could be once I've run out of talent. Is that too deep? Maybe. And before you say it, yes, stripping is a talent. Alice doesn't react to my attempt at self-deprecation, just returns to silence and turns back to the view. But I don't take my eyes off him because I can see that he's thinking about the bigger picture. I guess it is a little daunting, he eventually says, looking forward to the future. Nothing lasts forever. Eventually we all die, and the majority of people don't have a legacy to leave behind. Okay, my thoughts were depressing. Yours are macabre. I came out here to feel better, and you've made me want to jump off this cliff. Please don't. Cleaning up dead bodies is a pain in the ass. I laugh. He doesn't. But when I stare at him intently, he cracks a smile. Enough depressing talk, he says. How'd you get started at Peaches, and what has made you stay so long? I thought you said no more depressing talk. You said you loved it. I do, but you're not the first person to judge me for what I do for a living. Sometimes it's tiring. Atlas nudges me with his beefy shoulder. You should ignore judgmental assholes. If I did that, we wouldn't be here contemplating how depressing life is. Hey, I apologized. You did. You're just never going to live it down. Fair enough. What are David and Lyle like, really? I've only met them a couple of times, and they don't pay much attention to us lowly employees. Not like how they pay attention to the dancers. Lyle can be a decent guy when he wants to be, despite coming from an unsavory background. But not David. Lyle claims he wanted to start this business as a legal source of income, considering his whole family had been incarcerated at one point. Lyle initially had good intentions, but this industry isn't easy. David is one of those bosses who's greedy. Everything comes down to his bottom line. If it doesn't make him money, he's not interested. Atlas presses his lips together. Is that why we're told in security to turn a blind eye to inappropriate behavior, because we want the clientele to come back? I scoff. Sounds about right. Don't get me wrong, all the guys on your new team are good at protecting us if we ask for it, but that might be where the problem is. We have to ask. You shouldn't have to, he agrees. Do you think everyone is loyal to David and Lyle? I turn toward him, and maybe it's paranoia, but that's a weird question to ask. What do you mean? Loyal how? Are they the type of bosses who are respected, or would anyone screw them over in a heartbeat? I think if anyone was to screw them over, it says more about that person than who our bosses are. And now I'm done with this conversation because I don't know what he's getting at. Why is he asking questions about our bosses? I go to stand, but Atlas grips my wrist. Did I say something wrong? I'm curious, is all. I don't really know the people I'm working for. What if I'm part of a huge sex trafficking ring? Sex trafficking? Is this another hero complex thing where you think all us dancers need rescuing? There's that bashful look of his that I will never get used to. Not on someone so big and tough looking. Maybe I'm guilty of doing the exact same thing as Atlas. I, of all people, should know not to judge a book by its cover. I'm seen as a stripper, someone cheap, someone nasty. But deep down, I'm a protector, like Atlas is. I don't understand how or why you and the other dancers choose to do what you do, and I'm not trying to sex shame here or say that your job is beneath me, I just don't understand it. Just because you don't understand something, that doesn't mean it's not right for others. He runs his hand through his hair. I know that. Now he sounds exasperated. This is coming out all wrong. What I'm trying to get at is I want to understand so I can stop being ignorant about the industry as a whole. I'm trying to not be the asshole here, even though it's totally coming across that I am. I stand. In that case, I'm going to show you. Turn up half an hour early for your shift tonight. He looks up at me. Why am I suddenly scared? You don't need to be. He so needs to be.